This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass.
We have Martin Folley, who's the member for Albert Park, the Minister for Equality and Minister for all sorts of other things.
He's got a big business card.
Look, it's just so hard to get your tongue around it, but it's disability, ageing, arts, housing, equality. What have I missed out on, Martin?
Mental health.
Mental health, of course. How could I forget that? We were just talking about it off air. Good morning to you and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to the Saturday Magazine team and to all Joy FM listeners.
Great to have you here. So, Martin, I'd like to kick off our conversation this morning by just asking you to put on the record what is going on with Safe Schools. There's been some very interesting reports.
Fake news.
Whatever it might be, we want to hear it from the horse's mouth, but there were some reports in the media last week that the government is backing off its support for Safe Schools. It feels a little bit contra to what I've understood to be the case. Could you set the record straight for us?
I'm happy to. Safe Schools is a resource that was introduced into our education system by a Labor government. It has been rolled out as a commitment into every school during this term of government. We have 83 schools to go, and we will then take the program to a whole new level. The program is not only safe under the stewardship of the Andrews Labor government, we are committed to take it to a whole new level. I can understand sometimes why reports get misconstrued. Safe Schools in 2009 was introduced as a pilot program by the then Health Minister, Education Minister Bronwyn Pike. It was trialled in a number of schools. It was then expanded. The trial was further expanded under the Liberal government in 2012 by then Education Minister Martin Dixon. It went national under all people, Tony Abbott, in 2014. Yes. And when elected, Daniel Andrews committed to take that resource to every school. It is now in 321 Victorian government schools, and we have 83 schools remaining who will complete the resource support program.
And we're talking about secondary schools.
We're talking about secondary schools. A number of primary schools of their own volition have sought to enter into the school, into the program, indeed as a number of non-government schools, and indeed a number of faith-based schools have also sought to bring the program in, because it filled a gap identified by parents and by young LGBTI people themselves in schools.
So, Martin, talk to us a bit about this idea that you have backed off and that you're not going to fund the program going forward.
Where does it come from, Martin, you know, that people say, you know, there's been some reports like the government, it's funded for this year, correct?
It's been funded under a four-year program, like all government programs of any description are funded through the forward projections. That four-year program comes to an end in a technical budgetary sense in this budget.
Okay.
The program, as it then rolls out to the remaining 83 schools, gives us an ideal opportunity to raise the whole program to another level. We committed to deliver the resource and the program to every government school. We will meet that benchmark this year. That gives us an ideal opportunity in which now, having brought it, the program into the Education Department, to see how can we embed it deeper, how can we make sure we work with LGBTI communities, how can we work with the parents and carers of LGBTI kids, particularly trans kids who have been really, really under the hammer in recent times, used almost as political fodder, particularly during the marriage equality debate. And how can we then improve the program. That gives us the ideal opportunity, having rolled the program out in this budgetary cycle, in this remaining year of this political cycle, to take the opportunity of raising it to a new level. Now, so, that conversation...
Before you move on to the next level, just to absolutely clarify this funding situation, so what you're saying is that funding for safe schools is no different to any other government program. You can only commit to this term. You can't commit to the next term till you actually get over the line.
Till we get to this budgetary process in a few short months. The work is already being done internally within government, in consultations with community through our education advisory committee that's in place for how LGBTI policy rolls out. Having now embedded safe schools into the education department, we are going through the normal government processes of reviewing, supporting, and I am very confident of taking the whole program of support for LGBTI kids, questioning kids, diverse kids to a whole new level.
Can you provide our community with a guarantee that they will, that this program will continue to be funded?
I can give a guarantee that my good friend, the Deputy Premier and Minister for Education, is the biggest champion of making sure that LGBTI kids are safe in their schools and in their communities, and that the program will be raised to a whole new level. And that will see safe schools embedded, and the culture behind safe schools embedded in our schools for all time, okay, as it should be.
Okay, so let's talk about this whole new level. What does that mean? What does that look like?
So 10 years ago, when Bronwyn Pike was approached by families and carers, there was a gap. There was a gap in service support for young LGBTI questioning queer kids in schools. Those kids continue disproportionately 10 years later to be the subject of bullying, poor health outcomes, and, you know, sadly, really, really bad disengagement from school and from education and life opportunities, all the way through to self-harm and, unfortunately, disproportionately represented in suicide. We will meet the benchmark of having delivered safe schools to over 400 Victorian government secondary schools this year. That gives us the ideal opportunity to look about how can we, based on the learnings of where we've gone, make the program even more effective. What learnings do we have with the intersections it has, I hate to say it, in this current fear-mongering climate we've seen from the federal government about sub-Saharan African communities? Yes. How can we learn from the crossovers with racism and LGBTI issues, disability, yes, and LGBTI issues? Yes. What are the implications for keeping homeless kids who are also disproportionately represented in LGBTI identity matters? How can we bring those learnings and take safe schools and engagement with kids to a whole new level? That's the work that's been done in consultation with the LGBTI Safe Schools Advisory Group, and I'm really confident that the learnings that the last almost decade worth of experience has brought us will see the Safe School program raised to a whole new level. I'm not only confident, you've asked for a guarantee. I can guarantee that that program and those learnings will be embedded into this curriculum, into the processes of resources for schools for the next generation of kids coming through. That's how it should be, because every kid deserves the right to the best possible education, and LGBTI kids are disproportionately excluded from
that. That's as good as a guarantee we're going to get. So I'm really, really excited to hear that, Martin. Thank you very much. I want to just take the conversation to some of the opposition to the program. And some of the opposition has been, in my view, quite vitriolic. It's been very targeted, it's been very angry, and it's not been based on facts, as I can see. And some of that is coming from people who aren't actually even participating in the program. So some of the complaints that I hear are coming from parents whose kids don't even go to schools who have subscribed to safe schools. So I suppose I'm interested in asking you, what's your message to some of these people? And how can we deal with trying to get them to understand
what it's about?
What it's about. Yeah,
it's twofold. It's there's a deliberate decision being made by some organisations, and let's call it out, the Federal Coalition and their mates in the Victorian opposition, to target kids and schools as a wedge issue in the current political environment. We saw it in the marriage equality debate, yeah, where particularly trans kids were fodder for cultural wars. And that has been really, really disappointing. It's a deliberate misrepresentation of what Safe Schools is. Safe Schools is a resource that families and LGBTI supported kids in schools called for. It allows schools the ability to engage in a way in which schools are safe. Schools are safe for LGBTI kids and their families to be who they are and to participate. The deliberate misrepresentation of the program has been shameful, and we know it's not going to go away. I would ask those people to think about what this deliberate wedge politics means for that questioning kid in the school in their community.
Well, it's just appalling that anybody could use children for political fodder, really.
And let's we had the opposition leader on some time ago, and he's committed to come back on. And when we asked him about this, and, you know, his discomfort with safe schools, and, you know, he couldn't support it.
He had no problem supporting it around the cabinet table when he was in government last time. Where they expanded it from a trial program
to a considerable program.
So what's changed?
But hang on, he said that he was, because he was height challenged, that he was bullied at school because he was short. That was basically the basis of his policy response.
No bullying is acceptable.
No.
Just like we have programs for combating racism in school, we have programs for combating cyberbullying in school, we need programs that deal with all sorts of bullying. And we can learn from those programs. Mm. Each program can learn from the other. But when your LGBTI diverse or questioning young person is disproportionately the subject of exclusion, bullying, isolation, and bad education and life outcomes, that demands that the community and government step in and have programs that support those kids. Safe Schools has evolved in the last 9 years. It will continue to evolve. And a benchmark for that is when we hit every school being the provider of that resource. And we will hit that benchmark this year. That coincides with the funding forward projections coming up. And we will then take the whole program, learn from its last 10 years, learn from its intersections with other programs, and we will make it better.
Saturday Magazine, Macca and Tass. Martin Foley, the member for Albert Park. And I know there's a great long list, but I like the minister for everything that's important to us. Martin. You've given us the strongest possible commitment
a government minister can give us.
A guarantee.
It's close to a guarantee.
It's a guarantee. I'm classing it as a guarantee. That really pleases me, because this is so important for our kids, for the future generations. I'm interested also, Martin, you know, we touched on it just briefly before. Where do you think the opposition, not just the official opposition, but the opposition to safe schools, so much of it is nonsense. It's fake news. It's lies. They're using kids as pawns in a political game, and they're saying things about safe schools that are not true. You know, it's a Marxist-Leninist plot. You know, it's about the gender wars. You know, it's identity politics. The one Tass and I love is the radical LGBTI sex. Well, we don't. We want to know what it is. But the opposition to it, and the vitriolic opposition to it, what drives that, do you think?
I think fundamentally political opportunism. Clearly, whether it was the Federal Liberal Party, which pivoted on this issue, or the state opposition, we've seen a change in the culture of those two organisations where they think pandering to increasingly extremist elements within their own ranks can use LGBTI community and particularly LGBTI kids as wedges in the political battles ahead. I think the biggest challenge to that came in the form of the resounding national yes vote.
Yeah.
LGBTI issues are not just some retail corner subset issue for a targeted small group. We have seen through the marriage equality campaign that support for LGBTI community is very strong in so many communities, particularly in Victoria, where the highest vote for the yes vote of any state occurred. And I would point out that the areas of Kew, of Brighton, of Hawthorne, of Caulfield,
you've got to say Brighton,
all returned extremely strong votes.
They did.
Strong majorities. And why? Because every community knows through their own lived experience, through their own families, through their own schools, that there are real discrimination issues against LGBTI communities and particularly LGBTI kids. And it's an issue as we encourage community to come forward that community demands to be heard. Take no other measure than in 2002, the Royal Children's Hospital Gender Dysphoria Unit had 5 kids in its program. Last year, that program dealt with over 300 kids. Where are those 300 trans kids? They're in our communities everywhere. And demand continues to grow as parents and families and schools know what to look for, know what to identify, and encourage families and kids to come forward.
For the support, exactly.
This is not an inner city tram track issue. This is an issue in every community everywhere.
Mm.
Trans kids in particular, trans communities in particular, have been disproportionately discriminated against across the rainbow of discrimination at LGBTI communities.
I've got to call this out and just say I think it's absolutely disgraceful that any political process, any politician can use children as a political football. I just find that absolutely disgraceful.
But why are you surprised?
Well, of course I'm not surprised, but I'm just stating it. I think it's disgraceful.
Mm.
Anyway.
Particularly when the politicians that do those things have children.
Yeah, that's right.
And I assume engage with their children.
That's right.
With other kids and see, you know, the impact that this sort of stuff has on kids. I can't work it out.
And, you know, I get around a lot of schools and speak to a lot of support groups in state and other schools, and the strongest support for diversity, the strongest support for questioning young kids comes from other students. Mm. There's an historical wave coming through here, and you can either choose to be a part of it and to get on board or to oppose it. And those people who oppose it are really missing the history lessons that last year's marriage equality vote.
So November's going to be a test for Victoria, for the Victorian community. You know, post-marriage equality, we've seen the vote in Victoria was an incredibly strong endorsement of equality. It wasn't, you know, people didn't buy into the arguments about, well, what they call the argument about religious freedom. It's actually about religious privilege. But Victoria in November is going to have to make a choice. And one of the choices that some people will be deciding their vote on is safe schools. So it's a very clear choice, isn't it? For people, the opposition, that when they talk about it, it depends who you speak to, but they all oppose it. They can't quite say why. They can't say what they will replace it with. But it's very clear, isn't it? What the Labor Party says and what the Labor Party will do and the guarantees that you've given versus the opposition on this one issue. Many others, but on this one issue, it's a very clear choice, isn't it?
It is a clear choice. Are we going to support our diverse kids in schools or aren't we? Mm. Are we going to give them every opportunity to thrive and to be the best possible kids and communities they can be and lay us down a stronger foundation for the future? Or are we going to use them as opportunistic pawns and throw them under the proverbial culture wars bus?
If another version of human sacrifice. I can say that.
Well, if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Martin Foley, the Minister for Equality, Member for Albert Park and Minister for all sorts of other things. We're talking about safe schools. We've had a number of questions from listeners, mm-hmm. some of which are actually not related to the subject, and I might come back to you. But I just want to correct a question for respond to a question from Nathan Jones. Nathan, the Minister's actually pretty much provided a guarantee that the government is committed to safe schools, and it will go through the regular budgetary processes to review the program, its effectiveness, and put it back on the funding program for next year.
And we committed that every school would be in the program. We are going to meet that benchmark. That gives us an ideal opportunity to say, what can we do to take the whole program to a new level?
Yeah. Yeah.
If the opposition want to make this into a culture war about kids and about the safety of kids, right? Just as we're going to be having a discussion about religious freedom, right? Mm. We had a discussion about marriage equality. Good sense, the Aussie fair go came out on top. I think on safe schools, people will make a very clear choice. I hope they make a very clear choice, not just for their kids, but for their friends' kids and kids that you know, are coming in, and not buy into the nonsense and the rubbish that is put out about safe schools.
Mm. I've just had some more comments. 317 says that I'm cheeky. I'm not quite sure why. I was just trying to affirm the position that we're at. So we've talked about safe schools. What's in store for the year ahead, Martin? What can we expect to come out of your portfolio that's related to our communities?
Well, as we speak, not too far away, the over 600 people from diverse communities, LGBTI communities, both from around Australia and internationally, are meeting at the Melbourne Town Hall, pondering precisely what does the future mean for LGBTI reform and leadership post-marriage equality. One really, really quick thing we have to do is deal with a consequential issue that was going to be in the original federal bill, but for various reasons came out of Dean Smith's bill around trans divorce and related issues that came out there. I'll just remind listeners that we actually introduced a bill that was knocked off by one vote by the Liberal Party dealing with precisely this issue in this term, because we promised we'd do that. We've got to be careful of what the constitutional requirements of the Victorian Parliament are, but we will make sure in work with the Attorney-General that we deal on that issue and we get that through. The resounding support for marriage equality in the federal Parliament, including overwhelmingly from the Liberal Party for that final bill, needs to now be reflected in this one consequential amendment in the Victorian Parliament. And the Attorney-General and I have spoken on the matter, and we are determined to bring that particular legislative reform forward in a consultative manner, in a participatory manner, but it needs to be done. Then there's the much wider issues around whether it's housing and homelessness or health provision or the remaining issues in the justice portfolio. There are a raft of issues in education and community participation. We need to make sure that we use this year and this budgetary process to take the debate around equality being not negotiable for LGBTI communities to a new level, whether it's in the capacity building of LGBTI organisations. The amazing thing I learned at yesterday's Better Together conference was that something like 80% of LGBTI organisations, community-based groups out there, of which there are hundreds nationally, operate on less than one full-time employee. Mm. Yeah. And are overwhelmingly driven by the passion and commitment of those groups.
And that's often operate in people's living rooms.
Kitchen table organisations were the predominant organisations by a country mile. We need to deal with how we build capacity in a supportive way.
Yep.
Only then can these culture war debates be dealt with street by street, community by community, and issue by issue. There's also issues around, I unashamedly live within the range of the tram tracks of Melbourne, and we are pretty LGBTI aware and friendly communities. But we've got to take that culture to those isolated communities. I've been amazed as the response from the Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality's successful roadshows to regional areas.
Yes, hugely successful.
And some of the stories that have come out of kids, not just kids, but, you know, communities out there that have felt isolated and alone and now empowered with just really small amounts of support to come forward and proudly state who they are, the follow-up from that is enormous because we just can't leave those young people and those communities isolated. So that's how do we reform our health services? How do we reform engagement with local government? How can we make sure that our sports clubs, who are now queuing up to participate in rainbow sports events, can take that to a new level? These are really important issues that will take the notion that LGBTI voices are not just out and proud, but are included in all aspects of their community's life. These are the nuts and bolts of our government's programs over the next 12 months.
So what about the faith-based area? So there's a number of exemptions that do exist to, for example, faith-based schools and health and community services. Does the government plan to change any of that?
Well, again, I'd remind everyone that we took a bill precisely dealing with these issues to the Victorian Parliament not that long ago.
This is the one that was rolled by the...
By one vote. The same bill that dealt with the trans forced divorce issues. In that same package, there were also issues about making sure that we prosecuted the issues of how you deal with exemptions. And we understand that in some very limited circumstances, there might well be an argument for some faith-based roles to be excluded, but not overwhelmingly in the blanket exemption that is in place at the moment. And we failed in that legislative reform by one vote.
And especially when they're receiving government funds.
Yes.
Yes. And that was the argument in adoption equality, because four of the five organisations that are involved in adoption are faith-based organisations. And we got through that issue by engagement with those faith-based organisations. But in the broader issue of exemptions, despite, again, the scaremongering that was brought to bear, our arguments were widely supported by many faith-based organisations. But the Liberal Party opposed that set of changes, and we missed out by one vote. We are restricted under what we can do under the Victorian Constitution. If a bill is beaten, you can't reframe that exact bill in the same term. But rest assured, we will do everything we can to make sure that the Premier's commitment about equality not being negotiable is delivered, not just in these areas.
Thank you for the commitment, Martin. Thank you for the work. The guarantee, I love it. Our community will love it.
It's as good as we're going to guess.
Communities around Victoria will love it. The challenge is to Matthew Guy, to Tim Smith, to Robert Clark, that cabal, to actually tell us what... I've invited them on to tell us what their policy is in place of safe schools. Bit of ink on the paper, guys. Makes a big difference. But being a betting man, I'm not going to put money on their policy.
I look forward to schools and support for LGBTI kids being the bipartisan position it was just a few short years ago.
Yes, exactly.
Let's get you back in a couple of months for an update.
Yeah, thanks, Martin.
Thanks, team.
And
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
and see you at Carnival.
Yes.
See you tomorrow.
Thanks, everyone.
Cheers.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.